The
Roadshow! It's the radio
for
Roadshow!
From Newcastle Polytechnic in Newcastle!
Hello, Newcastle! I'm Tony Hawks.
I'm Nick Hancock.
And I'm Neil Malarkey.
And it's great to be here in Newcastle. If I was pressed to name my favourite three-syllable city on the banks of the River Tyne, it would quite probably be Newcastle.
Welcome to Radio 4's first ever roadshow, where we bring radio to your part of the world.
Yes, in the coming weeks we'll be travelling all around the country, even to Scotland. Although not to Wales, obviously.
Well, that's right. The overlords upstairs at Radio 4 have decided it's time to get out and about and attract a younger audience. And what better than a roadshow just exactly like Radio 1's?
Except indoors, in the middle of winter, and with everyone sitting in rows.
Not only have we got all Radio 1's poorly conceived competitions, really naff prizes, and insensitive advice about your personal problems, there's also some fantastically interesting facts about the place you live in.
This is a very interesting fact about Newcastle.
Geordie is a form of rhyming slang spoken in the north. Some Geordie phrases are...
Why, I'm a not pet of not...
Hello, and piss off, you southerners.
All right, you canny lad, my friend.
How are you, my friend? And piss off, you southerners.
You chuffing pansy skirt, divnot crop, southern bastard.
Radio 4. But perhaps Radio 4 isn't quite as pansy skirt divner as you imagine. Because remember, Radio 4 is trying to cultivate a younger audience.
Radio 4 is really hard.
The loudest performance ever by a rock band was by Motorhead in 1978, who topped 8,004 decibels.
We're Motorhead! We're hard! Yeah!
Yes, there's no denying the hardness of that act. But they're not as hard, however, as Radio 4's jovial presenter, Robert Robinson, who at his 90th birthday party at Stringfellow's Nightspot last week had an edition of his humorous chat discussion show, Stop the Week, broadcast at a volume of nearly 9,000 decibels.
But of course, the young copper had never heard the word brolly. Of course, he thought Mr. Robinson had said body.
See, I told you Radio 4 was hard.
We'll also be finding out what it's like to be young. What young people's problems are, and why young people have a voice that must be heard. But in short, easy to understand chunk so that you can all keep up with it.
Youth counsellor Anne Person in What's Your Problem?
What's your problem?
I'm looking at bodies this week. Living ones, of course, I'm not strange or anything. And the changes that they undergo when we're young. Young people are often embarrassed or ashamed by their bodies. Some people have things that they consider to be wrong with them. Small feet, discoloured hair on the inner wrist, an unsightly Siamese twin. No, don't worry. We've all got a little defect, and no one has a perfect body. Except Emma Freud. The bitch.
If you've got a specific problem with your body, Anne can give you advice, so ring our helpline.
Sad, fat, ugly and all alone? Give us a laugh. Pick up the phone, ring 0898 112223. Probline.
But remember, what we're really here to do is to convince you that Radio 4 is something a young person should admire.
Radio 4 is really hard.
This is Ian Mattinson, a 38-year-old man from Surrey who is unbelievably hard.
Hello.
I have personally myself killed over 11 people, and I was in the SAS and everything.
Ian can rip the beak off a struggling swan with his bare gums and then spit it into a bucket 300 yards away.
Psst.
Ian is the toughest and hardest bloke in all Britain. So it should come as no surprise, then, that he is a regular writer of one-line gags on Radio 4's hard-hitting weekly satire show, Weekending.
For my one-line gag this week, I thought it'd be quite ironic if I portrayed John Major as a Nietzschean overman figure.
Oh, very nice, Ian.
Very clever.
So, listen to Radio 4 all the time, or we'll send Ian round.
Radio 4, it's great.
Once again, the hardness of Radio 4 has been adequately demonstrated.
And of course, Radio 4 does win out over Radio 1 on all counts. The main count it wins out over Radio 1 is that it doesn't have Gary Davis on it. I actually once wrote into Gary Davis on Gary Davis's do's and don'ts. On the do's and don'ts of being Gary Davis. Do, bog off. Don't be on the radio anymore. Do stand in front of a high-speed passenger train. But not content with having Gary Davis, they've actually got people worse than Gary Davis. Imagine living with Adrian Just. There's no more to that joke. That's enough. And the worst thing about Radio 1 is every now and again they get it into their minds that they should start helping people. Like Action for Jobs, where you get advice on jobs from Bruno Brooks. Imagine going for a job interview and the bloke saying to you, well, what gave you the idea for coming for this job? And you say, Bruno Brooks. I mean, no one's going to employ you, are they? And then these sad, witless figures decide that they're able to advise you about drugs as well. If you are willing to take advice on drugs from Dave Lee Travis, then I think you need all the drugs you can get.
Here's another interesting fact.
Newcastle is, of course, the birthplace of Viz Comic. But did you know that the writers of Viz stole many of their ideas from a 100-year-old edition of the Daily Telegraph? The paper contained the headlines, William Gladstone and his unfeasibly ineffectual foreign policy. There's always a commotion going on in the Balkans. Benjamin Disraeli, he legislates daily. And Queen Victoria, the fat slag.
Now, I think that where Viz has succeeded is that it's identified important elements of British society that the London-based establishment press have simply failed to recognise. Terminally violent families, sexist lager-drinking lads, and frustrated young women in dead-end jobs whose only real outlet is sex.
The establishment has also ignored people with enormous testicles, footballers who are fish, and men whose heads are giant bananas.
You know, you can't find out everything about a town from the ivory tower of Newcastle Polytechnic. Each week, one of us will take to the streets of the city we're in to talk to the residents about something of local importance. And this week, I'm the roving reporter.
Yes, if you can imagine a sort of combination of Annika Rice and Keith Chegwin, then you've got a sick mind and should seriously consider some professional help.
No, no, no. Tony's nothing like that. And what are you looking at in Newcastle, Tony?
Coal, Nick. My mum often says to me, that's about as much use as carrying coals to Newcastle. Oh, I never really understood why she said it. So to find out, I've got a coal scuttle of my own with me that I've carried up from London. And I'm off to the shopping centre with it to see if I can find out what it is about Newcastle that makes it such a bad place to carry coal to. So see you, gang.
Look at him lugging that large, heavy iron coal scuttle with him. My goodness, that Tony Hawk's is hard. I'd like to see Radio 1's Bruno Brooks lift even one piece of coal without getting Liz Kershaw to help him.
Radio 4 is really hard.
Yes, you're getting the idea. Radio 4 is pretty hard. You might have heard Give Us a Break, Snooker on the Radio. We're so hard, we're not having snooker on the radio, we're not having darts on the radio, we're having sumo on the radio.
I think you look like just the sort of figure of a person to come and do sumo on the radio. So if you'd like to come up onto the stage, and while you're on your way there, if you could take nearly all of your clothes off. And we've got a piece of spaghetti you could wrap round your arse, which I think is what they use. What's your name?
Susan.
Susan. Oh, that's a very sing-songy voice. Do you sing at all, Susan? I don't remember that version. The version that goes... What are you studying, by the way?
Speech therapy.
Oh, well, you should be perfectly all right then. Speech therapy, you say?
OK, Susan, your opponent today is Mr. Damo Suzuki, who is the sumo wrestling champion of the world.
Konnichiwa, Susan!
Right, wrestlers, take up your positions in the centre of the sumo circle of knowledge. Susan, we ask you questions, and for each one you get right, you are permitted to strike a blow at Damo with either your fist or your foot. But for each question you get wrong, Damo takes a swing at you.
Konnichiwa, Susan!
Also.
Also. I bet you go to curry houses and call people Gunga Din, don't you?
OK, now, Susan, relax. All the questions have a Newcastle theme, of course. Your first question is...
In 1898, the Liberals under Gladstone held their party conference in Newcastle and devised its manifesto, which became known as the Newcastle Programme. Can you name three of the points of the 1898 Newcastle Programme?
Build some more bridges, put in a few more pubs, and invent a new drink for the city.
Good effort.
Yes, yes. Very close, but I'm afraid I can't accept it. You could have had Irish Home Rule, disestablishment of the Welsh and Scottish churches, or reform of the land law and rural local government. Very close, I think.
Oh, dear. So, Damo, you're going to attack. Go, Damo.
Dear. Bad luck, Susan. It's time for another question and a chance to get your own back on Damo.
In the 1970s, likely lad James Bolam starred in Geordie-based drama series When the Boat Comes In. In this two-part question, can you A, sing the signature tune?
La la la?
La la la. Don't you love the way that... Was that a $64,000 question when Bob Monkhouse always goes, la la la, you said la la la. That's correct in the first part. It's the only trick he has in the whole programme. So that's correct in the first part. And B, can you tell us the exact time that the boat did come in?
10 o'clock.
I'm afraid on the day that I was thinking of, the boat came in at 3:45 p.m.
So I'm sorry about that, Susan. So it's time for Damo to give you another shove, Damo. Okay, so you're battered and you're broken. One more incorrect answer and I'm sure you will have lost.
So, Susan, how many rivets are there in the Tyne Bridge to the nearest one?
1,200,342.
Correct! Well, well done. Your chance to throw Damo. And she's flung it out of the ring and into the road!
I think we'd all like to give you a round of applause, but we're not going to. Well done, Susan. Thank you very much.
Young people, Radio 4 is your friend.
Well, I hope Tony isn't having any violent problems with the tough inhabitants of Newcastle in his rather pointless coal-offering quest. Tony, can you hear me?
Tony's out and about.
Hi, yes, I can hear you, Nick. I'm actually here in the Eldon Square shopping centre, right in the centre of Newcastle, and I've got my coals with me, so I'll start with this lady over here. Hello. Can I ask this wayward child, what would you rather have than coal if you had a choice? I've got some coal here.
Anything?
Uh-huh. I'm offering you some free coal here. Do you want a piece?
I've got no use for it.
What do you like, then, if you don't like coal? Kylie Minogue?
No.
Madonna?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd rather have Madonna than the coal that I have here?
Yeah.
How old are you?
11.
I think you'd better have a piece of coal. Oh, sorry about that. Bye-bye. Excuse me, I'm from BBC Radio 4, and I'm just asking a few questions. I've just carried some coals all the way from London to Newcastle. Why do you think that was such...
You're a strong man.
I am a strong man, yes. You can probably see that, can't you?
What do you want to know?
Well, I want to know why that is such a bad idea, to carry coals from London to Newcastle.
Well, we haven't got them type of fireplaces, no, it's all gas and electric. And it's nice and cheap, used to get it for nothing. Me and my dad used to work at their mines.
Ah, and where are the mines now, then?
Well, they're all nearly all finished. Oh, and you not read the papers? The papers has not very many calories left, no. There was one in every village one time when I was a young lad. But I'm 78 now.
You're not.
I am. I wish I wasn't, but I am.
Well, do you want any of my coal?
No, well, it's no good to me. I've travelled the world, mate. I've been around.
Have you? Right, let me ask you one more question.
I was on the telly when somebody stopped me and asked me a few questions.
Did they? Oh,
well, but if I had known that I was going to be on, I would take me out to play the harmonica, you know. I would give the tune or have the lads on it where I live, you
well,
know.
Well, you will have noticed that there are no cameras pointing at you, so you're not on television.
No, I know that. I was on once.
Oh, right.
That's what I was telling you. I was just walking up the street and he's pulled us up and he says, just like you,
right.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
How old was he when he'd finished asking you these questions?
What was the age or anything like that?
Well,
I'm worried about my age, that is.
I'm worrying about mine. Anyway.
I'm on my way out. I'm expecting snuffing at any time.
Oh, well, hopefully you'll make it to the end of the path
you
up
think
here.
I'll need to talk to you?
I think so. Well, thanks for talking to us.
I'm not so sure myself. That's all right.
Hey, bye-bye. I've carried some coals all the way from London to Newcastle. I have. Look, there it is. Do you think that was... Well, that's a bad idea. Why is that a bad idea, do you think?
Because it's a smokeless zone.
Well, Neil, Nick, I don't seem to be having too much luck here. No one's very interested in my coal. Perhaps that's because they've got enough of their own, but I've been here 2.5 hours and I haven't seen any coal. So I'm going off to see where you get coal in Newcastle and I'll be back in a bit. Bye. Problem.
Problem. Hey. Too small. Many men think they're too small. In height, in this instance. But how tall or small you are isn't that important. And there's no ideal height for a man. Although, obviously, anyone under 5'10" is too small. But if you are a small man, compensate for the fact that no right-thinking woman will be seen dead with you by ganging together with 6 other small men and opening a mine.
Now back to Tony, somewhere in Newcastle, trying to find some coal.
Tony's out and about.
Right, Neil, I'm here on the streets. I'm going to give myself 2 minutes to find some coal and I'm going to go down on the metro because that's where coal's found, underground. Right, here comes a train, so I'm going to get on the train now and see if anybody knows if there's any coal anywhere. We're trying to find out if there's any coal in Newcastle at all. Where do you think would be a good place to get some coal, do you know?
Some coal?
Coal, yes.
Try Phoenix.
Well, I'm on my way to Phoenix. I don't know how many seconds have gone, but I'm just going to ask this person where Phoenix is. Do you know where Phoenix is, please? I'm in a bit of a hurry. Do they sell coal, do you think?
Coal?
Yes.
I reckon. It's very bloody cold.
No, coal.
Eh?
Coal.
Coal. What?
Coal for the fire.
Fire.
Silly idiot.
Excuse me, can you tell me where Phoenix is, please?
I can't hear very well.
Well, get out of my way, you old git. I'm in a hurry. I'm in Phoenix now. I just can't see where the coal comes. Right, I'm going up to the stocking department here and I'll ask them, excuse me, could you tell me where the coal department is, please? Coal department.
Coal?
Yes.
Try the co-op. There used to be a coal department there.
Well, I'm actually running along now because we've got about 20 seconds left to find this wretched coal. And here's the co-op and I'm going in now. Right, I'm just going through the door now. Here we are. Hey, we're in the co-op. Excuse me, could you tell me where the coal department is, please?
Up the escalator, second floor.
Thanks a lot. Well, I'm in the coal department here. What sort of coal do you sell in this department, please?
We sell shirts, sweaters and pyjamas.
No coal, then?
No coal, no.
Some coal department this is.
But of course, there is an easier way to find out what a place is like than going out on the streets with a sound crew and asking passers-by about coal.
And that's to put your feet up with a bottle of fresh Newcastle brown ale and read through the local papers. This is this evening's Evening Chronicle, which has got one excellent story in that I was very pleased to find. The rest of it was extremely boring. Page 9. Woman nearly knocked down. Angry residents complained today that council officials had ignored their warnings about an accident black spot when a 54-year-old woman was nearly knocked down. It's a disgrace, said Ken Spybe of Marshall Road. Marshall Road is treacherous, and this is the fourth time in as many years that someone has been nearly knocked down.
And thanks to the editor of the Newcastle Evening Chronicle.
Boys, at some point in your early teens, you will find that your muscle suddenly expands to twice its normal size. Now, don't worry. It'll be back to normal in a few seconds, if my experience is anything to go by.
Tony's back now.
Hello, anybody here know where I could get some coal?
Oh, Tony, you're back!
You're back.
Here's another interesting fact.
Visitors to Morpher City Farm in Jesmond Street observing the pig pen may be surprised to see a tiny slug frolicking around with the other piglets and behaving in a pig-like manner. Farmer Joseph Deacon explained this amazing sight to the roadshow, saying, Sluggy the slug was orphaned in childbirth and had little chance of survival on his own in a cruel, evil world. But miraculously, my sow, Sally, took in the poor mite and raised it as one of its own. Now Sluggy joins in all the games of the other pigs, eats pig food, and makes a passable attempt at an oink sound. Still, continued Farmer Deacon, this is a working farm with no room for sentimentality, and come the spring, Sluggy will be slaughtered with the rest of his surrogate family and made into sausages.
Well, what an interesting tale. Now tell me, Nick, have you ever been raised from birth by an unusual animal of any kind?
No.
Oh.
Bit of a long shot, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have made great radio if you had been, though. Still, a lot of people have been raised in the wild by animals. Romulus and Remus by wolves, that toddler in Birmingham found with a family of urban foxes, and newscaster Nicholas Witchell, who was discovered at the age of 18 playing in some trees with a ring-tailed lemur community.
Fascinating.
Radio 4 is really hard.
I like that she was going. Controversial South Central Los Angeles rapper Ice-T boasts that he is the king of rhyme and threatens those who challenge him with shotgun violence and certain death. But Radio 4's rappers, Instant Sunshine, were making up their own rhymes before Ice-T was even born.
See, I told you Radio 4 was hard.
Many people all over Europe believe Paul Gascoigne to be an inspirational midfield playmaker who may be short of genuine pace. In Britain, however, the common consensus seems to be that he's just a fat git.
And what a disappointment Paul Gascoigne must have been to his sophisticated and intelligent parents. University Challenge host Bamber Gascoigne... and Jill Gascoigne from The Gentle Touch.
But Gazza's not the only local celebrity. Oh, no, no, no. There's James Bolam, Jimmy Nail, Sting, and that bloke off Inspector Morse.
Except for some reason, all these famous juries have chosen to leave Newcastle.
So lastly, to finish off the show tonight, we're going to introduce you to some of the newest replacements for this disappearing talent. Please welcome our first guest spot of the evening, Vladimir McTavish.
Why is Scotch Corner a roundabout in Yorkshire? Why is there a picture of Frankie Howard on the back of a £5 note? So you might think I'm a wee bit barking. Doesn't bother me. Do you know who they've never said was mad? Was anyone that appears in that Radio 4 programme in the psychiatrist's chair. If that guy was interested in people with interesting psychoses, how come he's never interviewed Rolf Harris? Rod Hullany Mew? Of the Crankies. Husband and wife act. She gets dressed up as a little boy and pretends that her husband's her dad. That's what they do in front of the public.
Andrew Glover.
Good evening. It's great to be back because I've just been on holiday for a couple of weeks and it's amazing how things change when you go away for a bit, isn't it? I mean, when I left, joyriding was just a particularly happy part of Yorkshire. It isn't as if there's nothing for these young people to do, is there? There's all sorts of useful schemes they can get involved in. They're on the television every day, aren't they? After the 6:30 news, there's the public service announcements.
Living in the Cramlington area? Interested in collecting bathwater? Then why not come along to the Cramlington and Area Bathwater Collection Society? A convivial atmosphere? Guest speakers? And the North East's finest collection of loofahs. A guy I feel really sorry for who's just come back after being away is Jackie Mann. When he left, for example, John Major was just some pen pusher in the Treasury, wasn't he? And he gets this official phone call as soon as he lands and says,
Hello, it's John Major here. I'm in charge of everything now and I collect plates.
Who is this, really? You know? I think the worst thing that happened to him was the state of his wife when he finally came out of prison. Imagine. He'd been building up for this moment for years, and then there was this kind of badly made-up bush baby in the corner of the room.
Mike Milligan!
I wouldn't cheer because I'm here on a YES scheme, because the North East image has been destroyed because of the riots. So what I've done, I've been scheduled to kind of redo the Jarrow March. Because last time we did it, it was shite. There was all these blokes with flat caps and long marks going... Jarrow March. But it's different now because today's unemployed Geordie has a much higher profile. Imagine it, 200 stolen Sierra Cosworths. Reversing, in formation, at high speed down the M1. Out of the window, 200 shell-suited psychos waving barrel bombs. Ah! For the world's first mass ram raid on the Houses of Parliament. No, when I told my mother that I was coming to do some work for Radio 4, she says, well, I hope you're going to wear your interview suit. Because in Newcastle, every Geordie family have the one suit. It's like an icon. In my house, it's kept in a big glass case on the wall. The little sticker, in case of job, break glass. Never gets used. But you probably don't realise I'm a Geordie because I'm not wearing my shell suit. Anywhere you go in Newcastle, you see the shell suit families, don't you, in the shopping centre? They take hours to get ready because the father says to mother shell suit, take those trousers off, they fit you. Swap with a Ben, so yours are too tight, show your thighs off, and he can't walk properly with his. Get yourself in a shell suit before somebody in a shell suit gets you!
Well, that's all, I'm afraid, from the first End of the Road show. Have you enjoyed yourselves?
Yes!
And are you going to listen to Radio 4 all of the time now?
Yes!
Good. Now we're off to Edinburgh, a city renowned for its marvellous summer festival, the Walter Scott Monument, and its infamous Duke, who managed to snog off with the Queen at a party for a bet and ended up having to marry her. Goodbye!
The End of the Roadshow trivia titles. The End of the Roadshow came from Newcastle Polytechnic, voted Best Polytechnic in Newcastle 1974 and 1976, and featured Regina Friedman, Nick Hancock, Tony Hawks, and Neil Malarkey. The hard voice of radio was David Wilmot, a man who's fought in two world wars, and don't you forget it. The writers, Stuart Lee and Richard Herring, are planning a holiday in India in the last week of January. Give them a ring if you'd like to come. If all the tape used in the programme were to be racked around their assistant, Armando Iannucci, only his inner wrist would remain uncovered. The producer, Sarah Smith, works for Radio 4. Lists her hobbies as listening to and thinking about Radio 4. Her favourite colour is Radio 4. And she has a total of four radios at home, all tuned to Radio 4.